to get rid of the noise.
Right.
I want to get rid of the noise. And the one basic thing that I want women to do is eat according to their circadian rhythm. So that means like you're eating breakfast, knowing that your cortisol spikes about a half an hour after you wake up. You want to counter that with food. So within the hour of waking up, you have some food. And you're looking at, well, how's the stress in my day working? When am I working out? So you want to bookend your exercise with some food, preferably a lot of protein after, 30 to 40 grams of high leucine content protein, making sure that you're eating throughout the day, having good, adequate dinner so you're not overly hungry or overly full, and don't eat after dinner. Let's work on that timing to really work on then our hormones pulse during the day, cortisol pulses through the day, so we're actually working with our physiology. We're
okay.
Working with those pulses, which then feeds forward to the body being able to respond better to things like sleep.
Welcome to Functional Moms Podcast, lifestyle medicine for women over 40. Let's age on our own terms.
This episode is for you if you're a woman over 40 and want to learn how to build and maintain muscle and strength as you age. We often receive conflicting advice and it can be confusing. Many of us notice it becomes harder as we age and belly fat does creep in.
Dr. Stacy Sims is an internationally renowned exercise physiologist and nutrition scientist. She has directed research programs at Stanford University focusing on female athlete health and performance and published over 100 peer-reviewed papers and several books, including the popular Next Level, Your Guide to Kicking Ass, Feeling Great, and Crushing Goals Through Menopause and Beyond.
We had the opportunity to hear from Dr. Sims speak at the Institute for Functional Medicine Annual International Conference here in Las Vegas. And today, we will be finding solutions for tweaking your workout routines and to boost metabolism so that we age better.
Thank you so much, Dr. Sims, for being here on the Functional Moms Podcast. We are so excited to have you here. And the first thing I want to say is I am reading her book, Next Level, and Your Guide to Kicking Ass, Feeling Great, and Crushing Goals Through Menopause and Beyond. And I just have to tell you that I just love how you are communicating this information. I am like your person, and just how you just shoot straight off the hip. You're just a straight shooter and you say it like it is. And you know, you just speak a language that I can understand. So my first question is, can you please tell us why we need to lift heavy after 40? And can you explain what that looks like for a woman who has been on the 15 rep, 3-set cycle?
The hypertrophy that doesn't work cycle. So when we hit our 40s and we're definitively in perimenopause, regardless of what women think, they are in perimenopause.
Okay.
Because we see that we start having hormone fluctuations of estrogen, progesterone about 7 years before we start having real overt symptoms.
Okay.
So this is why when someone's 40 and they're like, I'm doing this stuff and my body composition isn't changing, it's like, well, it's because you're in perimenopause, early stages. But when we're looking at what's really happening at the muscle level, estrogen drives strength, power, and the amount of muscle mass that we have. So when we start losing estrogen or we start having changes in the ratio of estrogen and progesterone, then our body responds differently than when we had normal pulses and normal cycles. So when we start looking at resistance training, we have to think about resistance training as a stress to the body, and we have to think about it as a brain signal. So we want to invoke a nervous system response. So if you're lifting heavy, we're not relying on estrogen to feed back to the brain and the muscle to say, we need more muscle, we need to be a stronger contraction, we need to have a faster nerve firing pattern to lift this. Now we have the central nervous system and the brain and the nerve saying we need to do this. Okay. So that's how when we look at lifting heavy, we're able to build that strength and that power and that lean mass, because now we have a different signaling that allows us to accomplish that task.
Right, because the estrogen is no longer there. That I believe in the book it said the E2. That's
correct.
The stronger signal. Great. Thank you so much for that. And what is SIT and why is that so important for women over 40?
SIT is a sprint interval training, but it doesn't doesn't necessarily mean running.
Okay.
Because people think, oh my gosh, I can't run. If I run, I'm going to get injured. This is also the time where we see a lot of soft tissue injuries, tendon changes, tendinopathies. Most common is plantar fascia and frozen shoulder, right? So we don't want to invoke any injury.
Okay.
When we talk about sprint interval training, it's a subset of true high intensity interval training. So sprint interval training is very effective at creating what we call an epigenetic change. So this is a change within the muscle itself to pretty much have an increased amount of conversation between the skeletal muscle and the liver and visceral fat to say, hey, we don't need you fat, go away, but we need really strong muscle and we need to pull more carbohydrate into the muscle so it helps with metabolic control. And the way that we accomplish it is by doing 30 seconds or less as hard as you can go. And we have to use a rating of perceived exertion because heart rate lags too much. So we can't rely on heart rate to tell us how hard we're going.
Okay.
Because you see, I went really hard, but my heart rate only got up to 120. It's like, well, no, if you look a minute later, it might have peaked at 180. So we want to go on a scale of 1 to 10, a 9 or a 10. And you're giving it all you can with the idea this is the only interval I have. And then you rest for 2, maybe 3 minutes and do another one. And most women, when they start, they think, oh, I can do 5 of these. I'm good at interval work. I can do 5, and they can only do 2. If you do it right, then you're fully gassed the most at 3.
So it's sprint, and it could be like you can be on a rowing machine or...
I really just... like battle rope.
Okay.
So if, you know, if you're in the gym and you've done a heavy upper body lift, then you can finish it off with 30 seconds or less, 20 to 30 seconds of really intense battle rope work, because then you're getting that stimulus of the sprint, but you're also putting it into already fatigable muscles. So it increases the signal.
Okay.
So you're able to get more out of that workout by finishing it off with that sprint interval.
Okay. And then I guess T is for time.
Yeah.
And it's that 30 seconds. And is it like, so they would do 1 or 2 and that's enough?
For the most part, when you first start, yeah, because then form starts to fail. And we don't want people to get into that moderate intensity. Because if you're like, oh yeah, I can do 8 of these and you finish 8, that wasn't a true sprint workout. Because if you're doing a true sprint session, then at the most, when you're super fit and used to it, you might be able to do 4 or 5. But when you first start, you're looking at 2 at the most.
Okay. So that's doable, right?
Yep.
That's very doable. So can you, well, you gave us an example of what that would look like. So it's like you would be doing a workout, like let's say you're doing some chest presses and such, some upper, and then you would go to a battle rope and you would do the full sets of all your chest work.
Yep. So it's a finisher. We call it a finisher.
Okay.
So you do your whole lifting session and you're like, assault bike or battle ropes. Assault bike is a killer because it's total body. And you're like, that's the best way to know if you're going as hard as you can, because we do a chase meters on the assault bike.
Okay.
So you go as hard as you can, you check the meters, and then the next one, you got to match it or be better.
Or be better. Got it. That is, I've been there.
Yeah.
You're like, so let's see. So what about cardio? Do we need to change our routine after 40?
Yes, we do. And I know there's a lot of rhetoric out there about, you know, don't do high intensity when you come perimenopausal or postmenopausal. Do lots of zone 2 and relaxation type work or lots of endurance type work. But there's a lot of issues with that kind of conversation. First, when we look at what's optimal for women who are going through this menopausal transition into postmenopause, we have to look for an external stress that's going to create an adaptive change. So I've already talked about how, you know, lifting heavy does that.
Okay.
So if we're looking at true high intensity work, so like not the high intensity HIIT classes, but true high intensity would be 1 minute, 4 minutes, where you're doing 80 to 90% of your max, and you're having 1 to 4 minutes recovery, and you might do 4 or 5 rounds of that. So that's a high intensity work, which is different from sprint interval we just talked about. Either one is good, but we want to look at doing high intensity work. And if it's done properly, after you finish, you have a boost of growth hormone and testosterone, which drops cortisol. So the issue that we have with women in their 40s is we are tired but wired. We have an elevation in our baseline cortisol. And so this is where the conversation of, if you do high intensity exercise, you're going to increase your cortisol.
Right.
Well, yes, because cortisol is necessary to actually be able to do the exercise. And it will come down, but if you hit moderate intensity, you don't necessarily have a counter response of other hormones to drop it. But if you do high intensity work, it's such a strong stress on the body. The body's like, okay, that was a lot of cortisol. cortisol. Now we need to overcome it and start recovering. So this is why if we're looking at what we need to do to change body composition, to improve our cardiovascular and metabolic health, and to increase what we call the parasympathetic drive, which is that deep relaxation so you can get to sleep, it all points to that true high intensity work. I do work with a lot of endurance athletes who are like, but what about my, you know, my soul food? I'm training for a marathon or a 10K, or I love riding my bike. Yeah, that's fine. You can go out for the long stuff, but that's not the bread and butter. Okay. When we're getting into our 40s, we have to look at resistance training, some high intensity work as the main quality work, and then you can pepper it with your soul food.
Okay, so that high intensity, like for that woman out there that's like, okay, I'm gonna get out there, she's doing like, she's gonna go for a run. Mm-hmm. She's gonna go for a period of time running really.
So if we look at doing a running, so let's say she's gonna go for a 30 or 40 minute run.
Okay.
We can do the old fashioned idea of fartlek running, like you're running from lamppost where you go really super hard to the second lamppost and then you recover and then you do it again.
Okay.
So that's a really good idea of what high intensity work is. If you're
that's
on the track,
great.
You might be doing 400s,
okay,
like four and no more than 800s, and you're having the same amount of recovery time that you took to run that distance as your recovery.
Right.
Because we're trying to build a little bit of lactate, we're not trying to fully recover, but with sprint interval training, we are trying to fully recover between each one because it's so much harder.
Right. You know, I know also a lot of women that love to like go from one exercise to the next exercise to the next exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think about that?
If you are a period...
Like a circuit type of training.
So if we were to make that really good for a 40-year-old woman, we would do every minute on the minute type stuff. So we would pick four exercises, and you do the first one as hard or as fast as you can, and you try to finish it before that minute is up. Usually it takes about 40 or 45 seconds. For example, deadlifts. Let's go do some deadlifts, and we're going to do moderate heavy deadlifts, and I might get eight done in 45 seconds. Then I have 15 seconds before the next one. The next one might be thrusters or it might be mountain climbing, and you have a set amount, maybe 8 to 10, and you have to get that done within the minute, and you're really driving for good form and high intensity, so
right.
You get that little bit of recovery at the end of the minute. So you do four of those and you have one full minute off, and then you repeat it and you do three or four rounds of that.
Nice. Thank you for that. That's a great example of what that could look like. If you have, we're talking about the woman that's just listening to this and she knows that she needs to bring this into her life.
Yep.
But she's never lifted before.
And she's afraid.
And she's overwhelmed and she's afraid of getting hurt.
Yep.
And where would you suggest that this woman should start?
So we can start with body weight stuff. So right. Say you're a runner and you're like, yep, I have my neighborhood circuit and I do it all the time. You're going to start with a backpack loaded with household goods. So it could be some cans, it could be a thing of flour. And you're going to start with doing three sets of 8 to 10 air squats with the backpack on. So you're getting some load in your squat, and then you're going to go for your fartlek run, and you're going to come back and you're going to do another bit of those air squats just to start. If you're like, not quite so sure I want to do that because I feel funny doing that in my neighborhood, then you can look at online programs that are done at home. So like Haley Happens Fitness is really good for 40 plus women. So is the Betty Rocker. They both have really good at home. And they also have support like Facebook groups. They have some Zooms. They have some lives. So you can create community and understand like within your house. And then when you feel more comfortable, then maybe you go to the community center that has a gym. And you can take the programs and apps with you that have the videos of how to do stuff and
right.
a program for
right.
you. So you're not going into a gym going, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Great. That's really great advice.
Yeah.
Which actually leads to, does wearing a weighted vest while walking improve bone density?
No, it does not.
Whoa, that's a shocker, guys. That's a shocker.
Because we talk about like running and walking with a weighted vest being weight bearing, but it is not adequate to create an impulse for increasing bone density or maintaining bone density. What we need is multi-directional stress. Because if you're thinking about walking or running, it's just in one plane of motion.
Okay.
But what we need is more dynamic to get a whole bunch of different stressors through the skeletal system to instigate bone growth and bone turnover. So you're like, how do we do that?
Yeah.
You can go plyometrics, but people are like, whoa, that's really high touch, right? Yes. The other thing is jumping. So we look at 10 minutes, 3 times a week, but not your typical jumps and landing with soft knees. We're talking about flat-footed pogos or jump ropes. You're absorbing the force through the skeletal system. And there is a good friend and colleague from New Zealand who's designed an app specifically for women, and it's called called Bone Jump. And it
what is it called?
Bone Jump.
Bone Jump, okay.
And it has a program of what kinds of jumps you need to do to increase your bone density. She did 5 years of research on it and looking at 35 to 45-year-old women who had low normal to osteopenic bone density, so below normal. And they came in 3 times a week jumping 10 minutes a day, for those three times. And over the course of 6 months, they completely came into the normal. So it's just that multi-directional stress. It's so much stronger. The vibration training, no. Weighted walking, no. Running, no. It helps to preserve a little bit of what you have, but okay. It doesn't help what's happening when you hit perimenopause.
Wow. And when you talk about the vibration, are you talking about like those plates?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard so much about that, right? Those plates.
You feel like you've done something, but it doesn't.
Right. So, well, that's very interesting. I just learned so much right there. So what are two simple, we've talked about a lot of things here, and what would you say would be two simple things that a woman over 40 can do today to optimize her health?
I always say, look at the big rocks. So if we think about all the minuscule stuff where we're talking about what's sit, what's hit, resistance training, that is what I call in the weeds. We want to look at the big rock. Are you exercising on a daily basis? And that doesn't necessarily mean doing something in the gym, but are you moving? Are you doing incidental movement? Are you looking at stretching and mobility? Like, how are you taking care of yourself from a physical aspect every day? How was the sleep? How was the nutrition? And when we look at those and stress, those tend to be the four things that people kind of let fall to the wayside because they're so focused on getting the right kind of training in and they're not matching it with the right kind of protein or carbohydrate intake. Or they might be focused just on nutrition, but then they're not really focused on what kind of movement they're doing. So we have to interplay and connect those. So I always tell women, what are your 3 to 4 big rocks and what are you missing? Let's focus on that for the next 2 weeks. So a lot of women are like, it's sleep. I can't sleep. What's going on? I can't sleep. It's like, okay, well, let's look at sleep hygiene. Are you having dinner or your last amount of food at least 2 to 3 hours before you go to sleep? If not, well, let's start working on that. What about room temperature? What about no screens in the room? What about no screens before bed? And are you sleeping with someone who tosses and turns? Like, you know, all these things right. That come in to interrupt sleep. If we look at how do we encompass that to get better sleep, then that feeds forward to so much more out of our day, out of our training. We don't crave simple carbs. We're able to keep a really good gut microbiome. So I always try to get people to look at the sleep aspect first.
Okay.
And that can be a big rock.
Okay. So that's one simple thing that they can do is looking at their big rocks and what are they doing well and what is missing and then focus on that for like the next 2 weeks because you already know that those other things that you're doing.
Yeah.
So you don't need to focus on them, which is really a really great point. And what would you say number two might be?
I think the nutrition standpoint, because when we're looking at the whole history of women and we've had that whole carb phobia and then it was...
Yes.
You know, the high carb, and then it was low carb, and then it's a high fat, and it's a keto, and it's a fasting. It's like, get rid of the noise.
Right.
Right. We want to get rid of the noise. And the one basic thing that I want women to do is eat according to their circadian rhythm. So that means like you're eating breakfast, knowing that your cortisol spikes about a half an hour after you wake up. You want to counter that with food. So within the hour of waking up, you have some food. And you're looking at, well, how's the stress in my day working? When am I working out? So you want to bookend your exercise with some food. Preferably a lot of protein after, 30 to 40 grams of high leucine content protein, making sure that you're eating throughout the day, having good, adequate dinner so you're not overly hungry or overly full, and don't eat after dinner. Let's work on that timing to really work on then our hormones pulse during the day, cortisol pulses through the day, so we're actually working with our physiology or working with those pulses, which then feeds forward to the body being able to respond better to things like sleep.
Right. Now, I just heard you mention leucine protein. And I heard you talk earlier and you mentioned that. And so did Gabrielle Lyon spoke about that. And so what is that exactly?
What is leucine? So when we're looking at protein content, we have essential and non-essential amino acids. So essential are the ones that our body cannot create. We have to get them in through food. And there are 3 what we call branch chain amino acids that are part of those. And the 3 branch chains are isoleucine, valine, and leucine.
Okay.
And leucine is a critical amino acid that gets absorbed in the muscle and tells the muscle to turn on to reparation, to repairing. So it's called a trigger or a threshold for mTOR activation. So this is, we have to make sure we're getting around 3 grams of leucine after exercise to get that trigger. So what does that look like?
Yeah.
We're looking at 25 to 30 grams of whey protein isolate. So what does that look like in real food? If you're thinking about a single serving of Faye yogurt or, you know, that low-fat or non-fat Greek yogurt for absorption, because lower fat means it gets in the system, 1.5 servings of that.
Okay.
So that's a good, easy hit after
that's
exercise.
That's very easy and applicable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Can you just let our audience know where they can find you on social media and, you know, how they
all
can find you and all the things?
On social, I am Dr. Stacy Sims. So no E, no double M, just plain old Stacy Sims. And then our website is drstacysims.com. And that has all the courses, the books, the micro-learnings, the Q&As, the programs that we're putting out with collabs, like with Haley and Annie Torzutter and Katrin from CrossFit, so we can look at how we're doing more strength stuff in those environments versus at home. So all of the things are collected on the website.
That is so great. Thank you so much. And we will have this on our show notes. Yeah, so thank you so much. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes. We would love to hear from you. Please leave a comment or review. Email us at info@functionalmoms.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.